Well, hello there. Welcome into this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here. I'm your sometimes humble host for this podcast of observation, insight, and absurdity. It is the Monday, October 26th edition of the podcast. And 60 Minutes hit last night. We were already aware that 60 Minutes was interviewing President Trump and Vice President Biden, Pence, God forbid. And also Kamala Harris was in the mix as well. We'll be talking about President Trump and Kamala Harris as the minutes tick by here and other things on this first of the week edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there. Hope you're doing well. Hope things are good with you. I'm a little distracted because I am copying and pasting something to show notes and making sure that we have it in the lineup because it just popped up and I wanted to add it to the mix. Okay. All right. Wow. Where do we go? Well, first off, the weekend. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you had a chance to unplug. That's pretty much what my entire weekend was. It was unplugging. I decided to just enjoy some distractions for a change. Watched a lot of stuff on YouTube and some Disney Plus and some Amazon Prime Video because I canceled Netflix, as many people have. Their cancellations are up 800%. 800%. Eight times their usual cancellation numbers. Now, they're still growing. They're still adding new people, but the cancellations are way, way up. And I just decided, you know what? They don't need my money. So, here you go. And one thing I noticed over the weekend was that Amazon Prime, the Prime Video, what you get with it, because you pay a certain amount of money a year for Amazon Prime, which gets you free shipping for your Amazon purchases, and you also get Amazon Prime Video. And they include things in your membership. You're paying this amount of money. How much is it now? Isn't it something like $120 a year? It's like 10 bucks a month for Amazon Prime. Now, to be fair, to be absolutely fair, one good order from Amazon will cover that. That'll cover the postage for a month. So if you're ordering, the shipping for a month, if you're ordering something on a regular basis, for example, if you have like a vitamin or a supplement or something that comes on a monthly basis, and we have a couple of those things, some stuff that's for the dog. So you combine those things together, there's three, maybe four items together, then on the shipping, we're saving a few dollars a month by being members of Amazon Prime. And then beyond that, around Christmas time, we lean on Amazon pretty heavily. We order a bunch of stuff because it's, well, especially right now, it's easier, less complex than going out into the shopping environment, and it's not as frustrating. I remember last year going out and being in the parking lots and being just absolutely flabbergasted by how full everything was. It was like trying to get out of Disney on a busy day. You know, it was just crazy. It was just nuts. And Amazon was worth all that. So it was worth avoiding that, to me at least. And but the thing is, you get Amazon Prime Video, which you think, woo, this is going to be good, until you actually go into it and start looking to see what you can watch. Because, yeah, you get a bunch of stuff that's included. It's stuff you, honestly, I don't think you would go, if there were still video rental stores, you know, where you could go in and rent video movies and stuff like that, I would say that probably the vast majority of the stuff on Amazon Prime is stuff that would be left over. You know, you go in and nobody's renting this stuff. That's what you're going to find on Amazon Prime for free. Now, you can rent things. You can spend a few dollars and rent a video title. You can buy a video title and call it your very own. But the vast majority of the stuff, I mean, the stuff for rental and ownership, that's more recent. It's more up to date. It's more quality stuff. The other stuff, wow. If I wanted to watch all the Star Trek movies, I could, you know, because they're all on Amazon Prime Video. And I've seen them all 100 times, so why would I? Actually, I think if I go to my DVD library, which I don't ever watch anymore, it's taking up space in my house, and it gets dusted. That's the only time anybody ever touches the DVDs, is when they're getting dusted. But, I mean, if I wanted to go watch the Star Trek movies, I've got the DVDs, I've got Blu-rays of some stuff, I've got, you know, we just don't ever touch it anymore. It's all available online. And so, oh man, and I've transferred so much of that stuff. I've got a big hard drive that I got a lot of that stuff on, and we just use Plex Media Server and access my hard drive, and my movie collection is on my hard drives. So I still got the other stuff, you know, just in case anything crashes, but I find myself not watching that stuff very often anyway. At any rate, Amazon Prime, it's like the leftovers at the video store. For those of you who've been around long enough to remember what it's like to go, like on a Friday, you swing by the video store on your way home from work and everybody's already been there. It's like, do I really want to watch Kung Fu Fighters from the Moon? I mean, it just looks awful. But that's kind of what Amazon Prime looks like to me. Anyway, enough of that. That was kind of the weekend, looking through that and coming to that conclusion. It just, you know, it was just not much of a weekend. It rained a lot for us here, so outdoor activities were gone. I had things planned to do. I was going to do some trimming around the house, and the leaves are piling up. It's that time of year. It's that time of year, so that if you clear leaves on a Saturday, then the next Saturday you're clearing leaves again, and you're going to be blowing leaves and collecting leaves and clearing them off your property from now until there are no more leaves in the trees, which is going to be late November, early December, mid December. It's going to be that way around here. There's going to be leaves falling for the next 6 weeks or so, 6 to 8 weeks. And that's going to be what you do every weekend, is you're going to be out there with a leaf blower, possibly with the mower and a bagger or whatever, clearing your leaves. That's what you're going to be doing for the next month and a half or so, every weekend, or every time you have an afternoon where you have a little time, that's what you'll be doing. But since the time is changing this weekend, afternoons with daylight to do that are going to be gone. So it's going to be your weekend activity. And by the way, that serves as a reminder, we fall back this weekend. So remember, set those clocks back Saturday night / Sunday morning. So you know, you're not caught unaware later on. Of course, the number of people who would be going someplace on a Sunday morning now is greatly reduced because of the Rona, but still you want not to be embarrassed by having your clocks set incorrectly regardless. Okay. All right. Just as a reminder, this public service brought to you by whatever. It's a day of odd things to talk about. Now, last night, 60 Minutes was on, and CBS showed the interview with Donald Trump, and of course, they didn't show the context of him leaving the interview. They just showed Leslie Stahl. Hey, I have a lot more questions to ask. And they showed him leaving. What those of us who watched the White House's release saw was the complete video, which was them being told by a producer, hey, we're five, just as a warning, just so you know, we're 5 minutes away from Vice President Trump coming in, Vice President Pence coming in, because they had him lined up to sit down there as well. And so they were 5 minutes away. They gave him a 5-minute warning. And at that point, President Trump, who had been there for 37 minutes answering antagonistic questions, finally said, they've got enough from me. That's plenty. I think we're done here. No, seriously, it's okay. It's okay. But they've got plenty from me. Let's just go on. And can I meet with you privately in the hall for just a moment? And that was kind of how, there was nothing contentious. There was nothing about him leaving. Now, the interview itself was contentious because Leslie Stahl kept badgering the president, and he kept saying, you know, you wouldn't ask Joe Biden these kinds of questions. And sure enough, they didn't. When it was his time on the program, he was tossed softballs. He wasn't challenged. He wasn't belittled. He wasn't questioned. His integrity wasn't put on the line. He was given a very typical politician's opportunity to make his case. And he wasn't asked questions which were phrased the way Trump's questions were asked. It was a very telling thing. If you haven't seen it, you should go back and watch it. And make sure you go online and find the White House's release of their camera footage of how that actually went. Because they just let the whole thing go. They let a camera run for the whole time. It was focused on the president, but you can hear the audio from both sides, and you can see exactly how things went. And it's very revealing, because the president was being pushed. He was being antagonized. He was being challenged. He was not being dealt with fairly, not by any stretch of the imagination. And Joe Biden was treated with the flip side. And then there was Kamala Harris, who told lies, and they didn't challenge her about it. And we'll get into that as the podcast continues. I don't have time to actually get going on that right now because, yikes. But there was something that happened that I thought was interesting. During an interview, Joe Biden warned yesterday the next month election is the most consequential in a long time, because what would happen if there were four more years of George? Yeah, he said George. Four more years of George.
This is the most consequential, not because I'm running, but because who I'm running against. This is the most consequential election in a long, long, long time. And the character of the country, in my view, is literally on the ballot. What kind of country we're going to be. Mm-hmm. Four more years of George, is going to find ourselves in a position where if Trump gets elected, we're going to be in a different world. And so.
We're going to be in a different world. George. He says George twice because his brain was stuck on George W. Bush. Now, why? You have to ask yourself, why? George W. Bush is not part of the picture at all right now. In fact, the only time he's actually brought up is when someone wants to do some sort of a contrast about a previous Republican president with the current Republican president and the difference in their nature. George W. Bush is not in the picture, but he is in Joe Biden's picture. He made another confusing remark during an interview with Crooked Media. That's a leftist publication. He was speaking with them on the issue of voting and said to the hosts, by the way, the hosts of that of Crooked Media are former Obama administration officials. He said, first of all, go to iwillvote.com to make a plan exactly how you're going to vote, where you're going to vote, when you're going to vote, because it can get complicated because the Republicans are doing everything they can to make it harder for people to vote, particularly people of color to vote. So go to iwillvote.com. Secondly, we're in a situation where we've put together, and you guys did it for President Obama's administration before this, we've put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. You know that he was misspeaking there. This is him having another mental hiccup. He goes on to say what the president is trying to do is discourage people from voting by implying that their vote won't be counted. It can't be counted. We're going to challenge it in all these things. If enough people vote, it's going to overwhelm the system. You see what's happening now. You guys know it as well as I do. You see the long, long lines in early voting. Now, he's implying, actually he's bald-faced saying, that the president is intimidating people into not voting. People of color. Of course, he's playing the race card, using Black Americans, and assuming that Black Americans are too stupid to know how the voting process works. But that's progressives for you. And that's Joe Biden. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast, the Monday edition for October 26th. Wow. Halloween is this weekend. Hopefully we have good weather. But, you know, I don't think we're going to see kids at the door. We haven't seen kids at our door for the last couple of years. It's just the way the neighborhood's changed. You know, kids get older. They stop doing things. And also, it's been a few years ago the parents started loading them up and taking them to the newer, nicer subdivisions. You know, all these planned subdivisions where all the houses have, they have like two or three different patterns. They all look kind of the same. And on Halloween night, it's a nightmare getting in and out of those areas because from all around, people bring van loads of children to trick or treat. And since that started happening, we just don't have kids that come down our spooky, dark street. We don't have street lights or anything like that. We just don't. Anyway, and there's Rona. People are keeping, the fear, the Rona fear is just amazing. Just absolutely amazing. Have you noticed that we're not hearing about the flu? Now, when I went for my checkup the other day, last week, they pushed the flu shot on me and I said, oh, okay, fine. So I got a flu shot last week and, but I've been looking at the news and I saw the other day and I actually shared it on social media the other day that, that the numbers, the reported flu cases are way down this year, way down. Now there are those who are saying, yeah, well, it's because of masks and social distancing. I don't buy that. I just don't buy that. What I do buy is that other things, which are coronaviruses, such as the common cold and the flu, can be interpreted as the coronavirus, this new coronavirus, COVID-19. It can be interpreted as that in some of the testing. So I think what's happening is that some of the testing is picking up on the flu, and it's being labeled as COVID-19. In the stats. And that's what's happening, is that we probably have about the same number of flu cases as we've been having in the ballpark, but they're being attributed as coronavirus. I think that's just me. I'm just spitballing here. Speaking of spitballs, I'd like to throw one at Joy Behar, because she's once again opened her mouth and removed all doubt that she's a biased idiot. And that is, she was triggered during the debate. Donald Trump said something about New York being his wonderful city. He talked about it being a ghost town. And he's right. Let's see, what was the stat I saw? And I shared it over the weekend. Yeah, it's that hotel room reservations are about 10% of what they used to be a year ago. 10% of this time last year. New York City has lost 90% of its hotel revenue. 90%. Now, some of that, of course, is business. I would say probably the diehards are there on business right now. With the tourism industry, a lot of people go to New York City. They're tourists. They want to go see the Big Apple, and they're not going because of the coronavirus. Well, Joy Behar, getting back onto the topic again, Joy Behar got triggered because he said it was his wonderful city. And she said, New York is not your wonderful city. New Yorkers hate you. Well, yeah, you hate Joy. You hate him. But, and some, yeah, brainless New Yorkers do hate Donald Trump because they just follow what they see instead of being real. But New York used to love Donald Trump. New York loved, I mean loved Donald Trump because he was responsible for lots of improvements in New York, lots of financial help in New York. He was responsible for lots of great things in New York. And people in New York loved him. The press there wrote glowingly about him until he decided to run as a Republican against Hillary Clinton. And then they all turned on him. So Joy Behar has just reinforced the fact that she's an idiot. And she's lying. Speaking of a lying idiot, Mark, that's not kind. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Senator Kamala Harris was on 60 Minutes as well. And she struggled to respond during the interview that aired last night when she was confronted over the fact that she's been rated as the most far left member of the U.S. Senate. Nora O'Donnell said, "You're very different in the politics that you've supported in the past. You're considered the most liberal United States senator." Hmm. And indeed, she has been. Let's see here. Here's the video. I knew I had it here someplace. Let's roll that for you so you can actually hear this yourself.
You're very different in the policies that you've supported in the past. You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage. But
yeah. Well, actually, the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator. You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for All. You've supported legalizing marijuana. Joe Biden doesn't support those things. So are you going to bring the policies, those progressive policies that you supported as senator, into a Biden administration?
What I will do, and I promise you this, and this is what Joe wants me to do, this was part of our deal. I will always share with him my lived experience as it relates to any issue that we confront. And I promised Joe that I will give him that perspective and always be honest with him.
And is that a socialist or progressive perspective?
No, it is the perspective of a woman who grew up a black child in America, who was also a prosecutor, who also has a mother who arrived here at the age of 19 from India, who also, you know, likes hip hop. Like, what do you want to know?
Well, I want to give you the opportunity to address this, because at the Republican National Convention, yeah, President Trump made the case that Joe Biden is going to be nothing more than a Trojan horse for socialist policies, for the left wing of the Democratic Party. Are you going to push those policies when you're vice president of the United States?
I am not going to be confined to Donald Trump's definition of who I or anybody else is. And I think America has learned that that would be a mistake.
So just to button that up, because you have fought for Medicare for All. That's not something that Joe Biden supports. If you become vice president, would you say to a President Biden, you know what, we should really be pushing for Medicare for All, not a public option. That's just not going to do it. That's not my value.
I would not have joined the ticket if I didn't support what Joe was proposing. And so our plan includes expanding on everything that Joe, together with President Obama, created with the Affordable Care Act. By contrast, you have Donald Trump, who's in court right now trying to get rid of a policy that brought health care to over 20 million people, including protecting people with pre-existing conditions, and he's doing it in the middle of a pandemic that has killed over 215,000 Americans.
Hmm. There is so much about this. So much. We honestly, seriously don't have time to get into all of it, but there is so much about this. I don't know if you've noticed, but she deflects very quickly from her actual positions on things and just says that she's going to share her views with Joe. And she says that her deal with him was that she would share her views and that she would not have joined the ticket if she didn't believe in what he is doing. Now, that in itself is a lie, because she would have joined the ticket if Joe Biden was diametrically opposed to what she believes in, because she knows that she would be the first person in line should anything happen to the president. She knows it's an opportunity to sit in the Oval Office. She knows that she can bluff her way through and get past an election process by towing the line and repeating the talking points. She knows she can do that. She doesn't have to commit to anything or not commit to anything. She just has to regurgitate the talking points. And she doesn't have to own up to her true beliefs. Now, just like Joe Biden has that condescending big grin and a laugh, like every time he's nailed with something that's true, Kamala Harris, every time she's nailed with something that's true, has that nervous laugh. You heard it two or three times during that particular segment of her interviews, where she just she starts laughing like it's a ridiculous question. But it's so transparent that she's covering, and she's been nailed. Kamala Harris is dangerous and just one step away from the presidency. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Monday, October 26, 2020. Looking back over the interviews on 60 Minutes last night. And we, in the last segment, we're talking about Kamala Harris. And there's a little bit more to talk about there. She was asked if she thinks that President Trump is a racist. Remember what I said about talking points a while ago? She just has to regurgitate the talking points. Well, she regurgitated some talking points. And fortunately, we actually have the audio.
On the campaign trail, President Trump has attacked you frequently. He's called you a monster. He said you're nasty, and it would be an insult to our country if you became the first female president.
Yeah, he's right.
Do you see this as just the rough and tumble of politics, or do you view those attacks against you as racist?
Here we go.
Well, this is not the first time in my life I've been called names. And it was predictable, sadly.
Do you think the president is racist?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. You can look at a pattern that goes back to him questioning the identity of the first black president of the United States. You can look at Charlottesville, when there were peaceful protesters, and on the other side, neo-Nazis, and he talks about fine people on either side.
Lie.
Calling Mexicans rapists and criminals?
Lie.
His first order of business was to institute a Muslim ban?
Lie.
It all speaks for itself.
President Trump has said he denounces racism and white supremacy.
All of these examples are completely invalid. All of them. Now, we've seen, you and I, because we are right-thinking people, we've actually done our own homework, and we've seen the reporting and the accuracy on all of these situations, and what Kamala Harris just did was present inaccuracy. She lied about four different things. Lie after lie after lie. Lying. Most recently, in a fact check of a speech made by Kamala Harris last week in Atlanta. First, birtherism. She mentioned birtherism, okay? Trump questioned Obama's eligibility to be president. He did the same with Senator Ted Cruz, who was born in Canada. He later produced evidence of his mother's U.S. birth. So, Trump apparently applies the same standard to everyone, not just Barack Obama. Charlottesville. He never said the neo-Nazis were fine people. In fact, he said they should be condemned totally. Kamala Harris knows she's lying, because Vice President Mike Pence told her the truth to her face at their debate earlier this month. She knows she's lying. Mexicans. Trump did not refer to Mexicans as rapists and criminals. He was referring to people who entered the United States illegally, making clear he was not even talking about all illegal immigrants. He said, and some, I assume, are good people. He wasn't talking about Mexicans in a broad general sense. He was talking about some specifically who come into this nation dealing drugs, and committing other crimes, among those crimes, rape. And we've heard story after story after story. We've heard the testimonies of many, many women in the caravans, in the care of coyotes moving people through the deserts. We've heard their testimonies of rape. We know it happens. The Border Patrol agents hear the stories all the time. It does happen. That is who the president was talking about. And Kamala Harris, again, is lying. And finally, the Muslim ban. President Trump never imposed a Muslim ban. He never did. He restricted travel from terror-prone countries. These countries were identified as terror-prone countries. By who? The Obama administration. Most of the Muslim states weren't part of the ban. And the ban was upheld at the Supreme Court level. And there were non-Muslim countries on the list. The countries, the terror-prone countries, were identified as such under Barack Obama. Most of the states who identify as Muslim states were not part of the ban. It was upheld at the Supreme Court level, and there were non-Muslim countries on the list. There was never a ban of Muslims. There was a ban of travel from countries we know to be terror-prone. That's what the ban was. Only those who are willfully ignorant or lying for political purposes still maintain that it was a Muslim ban. And also remember that back during the primary season, back when all of these, the clown car was full of people running to be the next Democrat president candidate, Kamala Harris attacked Joe Biden for his past racial insensitivity. 60 Minutes didn't ask her about Biden's statements on race. Just didn't. She attacked him. If you'll recall, she said, "I know you're not a racist, but it's a sleazy tactic that's used by people in politics all the time." She called him a racist by first saying, "I know you're not a racist, but," and yet, she sacrifices that, her own personal integrity, because there's a chance at sitting in that chair behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office of the White House. That's why she is where she is today. And you have to ask yourself, do you really want this giggling liar that close to the presidency? Do you? I don't think sane Americans, level-headed, right-thinking Americans do. I don't think anyone really does. I think most people are very suspicious of Joe Biden. They don't like Kamala Harris. If you look at what's happening as far as public appearances are going right now, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are making appearances in groups of 20 or 30 or 40 people. And President Trump is showing up to thousands of people. The enthusiasm is not there. Yes, I'm aware that that particular voting bloc is also frightened to the point of being petrified because of the lies they've been told about COVID-19. They're all scared to death to get out in public, and they're condemning anyone who does. I realize those people are not showing up to some degree because of fear. But at the same time, you look at the Trump rallies, where every person who is admitted is temperature screened. Every person admitted is given a mask and asked to wear it. And people know that, and they're still coming out. They understand. They understand the risks, and they're still coming out. And we're not seeing that happen for Joe Biden. In fact, a majority of likely voters right now honestly believe that Joe Biden had a conflict of interest involving Ukraine oversight and his son Hunter. Now, just a little bit earlier this morning, I put something on the Facebook page for the Daily Perspective podcast, and I'm going to see if I can pull it up here. Where are you? It's funny that it's my page, and I still, oh my gosh, where are you? Where is it? I put a post on it, and now I don't even see it. Isn't that weird? Well, Facebook, you're making me wonder about some things. Okay. Let's see. Okay, here we are. I wanted to pull this up, so I've got it here to refer to. All right. First up from justthenews.com, a majority of likely voters believe Joe Biden, when vice president, had a conflict of interest in his oversight of Ukrainian corruption, considering his son was on the payroll of a Ukrainian energy conglomerate being investigated for corruption in that country. This is according to a new Just the News daily poll with Scott Rasmussen. When asked, 53% of likely voters agreed with the proposition that Biden's oversight posed such a conflict. 26% found no moral issues with that arrangement. 21% were undecided. Joe Biden has for years faced questions about his son Hunter Biden's tenure on the board of the Ukrainian energy firm Burisma Holdings, which has long been shadowed by corruption allegations. The New York Post last week, for instance, broke what appeared to be emails indicating that Hunter had introduced a Burisma advisor to his father when Biden was still vice president. And you remember that Twitter has locked down the New York Post's account until they delete those posts, and the New York Post is refusing to delete them. The Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden, has repeatedly denied any knowledge of his son's business dealings in Ukraine. It was a survey of 1,265 likely voters conducted by Rasmussen using a mixed-mode approach from October 15th to 17th. Now, if you toss the laptop issue, all the contents in the dumpster, you have to look at this from that perspective, and we'll do that after the break. Because we still have some things to consider. Right now, there's a lot of chatter about the photos and the videos that are being exposed online. And exposed is a key word, I should say. We'll take a look, coming up after the break, very briefly at that, and then we'll scrub it and look at things without the laptop. Welcome back. Time to jump into the last segment for this Monday, the 26th day of October 2020. Before the break, we were talking about we were talking about Hunter Biden. We were talking about Joe Biden. We were talking about that problem that Hunter is. And I want to pick back up on that right after I share this with you. And that is that Hillary Clinton is calling you names again. I don't know if you know this, but she was on a podcast yesterday called, what's the name of this thing? I just skimmed over it. Anyway, she was on a podcast over the weekend, and she said that most Republicans are going to want to close the page, and they want to see Trump gone as much as we, referring to Democrats, as much as we do, but they can't say it publicly. Most Republicans, she says, have been cowards, spineless enablers of the president. And it makes her literally sick to her stomach to think about Trump winning a second term in the White House. She said she can't entertain the idea of him winning. It would cause cognitive dissonance of a grave degree. Quote, it makes me literally sick to my stomach to think that we'd have four more years of this abuse and destruction of our institutions and damaging of our norms and our values and lessening of our leadership, and the list goes on. Wow. Abuse? Okay, I'll give you that. He's abusing the criminal activity of long-term deep staters in Washington, D.C. He is. He's dealing with those people. You're actually seeing Republicans refuse to run for office again because not because they're disgusted with the status of things in Washington, D.C., because it's just not proper. That's not the real reason. That may be what they're saying, but the reason they're not running for office again is because they know if they do, they could be next on his list to be exposed. So they're taking their money and going home. That's what's happening with most of the people deciding, I'm just not going to run again. This whole thing. The Lincoln Project people, those types, those people who hate President Trump on the Republican side just want things to run by the game rules they used to run by, where everybody was making money under the table and nobody really was doing the job we appointed them to do. You're getting me worked up here. Damaging our norms and our values. Our norms and our values. I refer you to what I just said. Destruction of our institutions. Yeah, he's tearing down some stuff that never should have been built. Never. Lessening our leadership? Really? Have you looked at the Middle East? Have you looked at what's happening around the world as a result of the way he's been dealing with foreign nations? North Korea isn't launching missiles. Have you looked? Yes, you've looked, but you still must lie, Hillary. You must lie to save face. And that's exactly what she's doing. Okay, back to Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and the rest. Let's toss Hunter Biden's laptop and all of its contents in the dumpster for just a moment, shall we? The leftist press and their buddies in the Democrat Party claim the recent revelation of Hunter Biden's laptop is just another example of Russian disinformation designed to reelect Donald Trump. This is what Joe Biden is saying. He's lying, by the way. He's lying, saying 50 or so these people, former government, these officials have told me that there's nothing compromising, yada, 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 yada. He's lying. It's a bald-faced lie. Now, also, keep in mind that there are a lot of deep staters, former people who worked in intelligence who were part of the big game. They're fighting to preserve politics as usual in Washington, D.C. They're not fighting for a clean political system. They're fighting for what's been done behind closed doors in the dark for all these years, because it benefits them. Okay, fine. Who needs the laptop? Just look at the rest of Hunter Biden's life. Okay? There's an article at WayneDupree.com that's referring to a page 6 article over at the Daily Mail in the UK. And it's a report on Hunter Biden's extramarital affair with his brother's widow, which he started after a week-long drug binge in a homeless shelter. I know your head's spinning. This is the president's son, or the presidential candidate's son. Hunter's history of really, really, really bad life choices makes him a serious liability for his presidential candidate dad. Not just because he's an embarrassment from a basic human decency perspective, because his bad judgment, which leads to his bad behavior, provides foreign governments opportunities to manipulate his father with blackmail scenarios. There's no way to deny that Hunter Biden's behavioral issues are a compromising liability. No way at all. But let's forget everything we already know about him, what he's done. Forget it. Imagine Joe Biden's elected. Yeah, I know it's scary. Work with me here. Joe Biden is now president. We know nothing about his wild child, Hunter. Yeah, we know he's got some kids. We know he's lost a first wife, and he's lost a daughter. We know a little bit about his history. But we don't know about crazy boy, Hunter. But the government of a hostile foreign nation, let's just say it's China, has some compromising video and photos of his wild child son with hookers and drugs. And they privately demand that Joe push some legislation friendly to them, which is also harmful to American businesses and their employees. Or, if he doesn't, they will leak the videos and photos and ruin him. What would a lifelong, lying, plagiarizing, political swamp creature like Joe Biden do in that particular scenario? I think you know the answer. So even if we forget the laptop and everything associated with it, there's still Hunter Biden's record of poor judgment and compromising behavior, which is a serious liability for anyone, well, particularly his dad, should they be elected president. But we do have the laptop. We have those images and the videos, which are now making the rounds online. And bless your heart if you've watched them. They're everywhere. If you've watched any of the video, we have the emails showing us that Joe Biden was personally profiting from Hunter's business contacts. Contacts he capitalized upon because he was the son of America's vice president. Positions he would not have gotten were he just some misfit child of a corporate bigwig. Joe Biden is a dangerous liability for the United States of America. He should not be elected president. Just think. Think about the potential. Think about the compromise. Think about what other nations interested in benefiting from us in some way, yet not changing anything they're doing to their people, could do with a president like Joe Biden, whose son is such a wild card. Just think. As I said to begin with, throw the laptop away. I know you may be thinking, why? We have the laptop. We should use the laptop. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, even without the laptop, Joe Biden's a liability. He's a liability. And you want to be frightened even more? Okay. If Joe Biden is elected president, we know he's facing mental issues. We know he's not remembering things. We know just over the weekend he called the president of the United States by the name of a prior president. Twice. He called him George. That's just the latest example of mental hiccups he's been having. And days on end when he's not campaigning and appearing before people and answering questions in interviews. Days on end when he puts a lid on the campaign. If by some bizarre twist he's elected, he would probably be replaced soon by his vice president, Kamala Harris, who we know is a Marxist, who we know is pushing things which would destroy the nation you know and love. That should frighten you. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great Monday, in spite of it all. We'll see you back here later for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.